Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a really great show for you today. We're really excited. John and Mary are here to talk to us about Qigong and how its relationship to mental health in a whole host of ways that are really surprising to many of us, of like what this ancient technique and exercise can really do for all of us at any age. And they promised at some point Mary's going to come in also back and do a show just on Qigong and the elderly. But today's show, so John and Mary, today's show is going to be just on a general notion of what is Qigong, why is it good for mental health, and how do we, what does it actually mean? What do we do with it, right? Okay, you are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. I happen to be Dr. Scott Terry for some reason. And the show can be found at Tuesday nights at 6:30 and Thursdays at 12:30 here at KRUU FM 100.1 on your FM dial. If you happen to be so lucky to be in Fairfield, and you are lucky if you happen to be in Fairfield. And if not, you could pick them up at the archives that we're archiving these shows at KRUUFM.com. You could also pick them up by simply going to our YouTube channel and typing in Ardent Counseling Center, or go to my website, ardentcenter.com, and go to the media tab, and you will see both YouTube's as well as just the radio show links, as well as links to other lectures on anxiety and depression and all kinds of other things, as well as iTunes. So pretty cool stuff. ArdenCenter.com, if that's useful to you, whatever useful. We're not doing any promotion. We're just saying if there's some topics you're interested in, like this topic, and if for some reason you don't listen to the show we're going to do later on the elderly and some other ones on emotional health, you're going to have to listen in. All right. John and Mary, tell us who you are and what the show is about.
Hi, we're John and Mary Platt, and thank you, Scott, first of all, for having us here. We have been in Fairfield for about a year and a half, and we are retired. However, as a retirement job, we teach something that we've been doing for a long time, and that is teaching a very old art called Qigong. And before we get into the mental health aspects of it, maybe we'll just say a word about what it is.
Well, how about who are you? So, John, you came here about a year and a half
ago. About a year ago.
Where are you from?
Yeah, we have been living on the East Coast, specifically in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Wow, okay.
Where I was a school teacher for 36 years.
What kind of teaching?
Teaching English to high school students.
Oh, fun.
And Mary was and is still a professional storyteller. You want to talk about that?
Yes, I made my living as a professional storyteller for many years.
How can you make a living as a professional storyteller? What is that?
Well, I would visit schools, libraries, festivals, and tell my own interpretations of folk tales, ancient folk tales.
Interesting.
In performance, and also in workshops, and also I'm a yoga teacher, yoga therapist. So when we were in Poughkeepsie, John, and he might want to talk a little bit more about this himself, worked with teenagers for many, many years, teaching martial arts and Qigong. I taught yoga to the kids at school as well, and some Qigong.
Very cool. So at some point, will you honor us with a story?
Absolutely. I would love to do that.
Oh, we could just do a show just on that, Mary. Oh, that would be cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. So just for everybody's background knowledge about me, full disclosure here is I have done Qigong in the past, as well as Tai Chi. I'm a black belt in Kung Fu, which is a related kind of subject. And these are all somewhat distinct but different kind of things. So we're going to talk about the nuance between, let's say, Tai Chi and Qigong. And we won't be doing any Tai Chi in the studio today, but that would be kind of fun. All right, so John, tell us a little bit about what Qigong is and why, how it's different from some of these other martial arts.
It's a good question, and in reality, Tai Chi is a Qigong of sorts. Qigong predates Tai Chi a couple thousand years. Qigong is working of energy in the body. They've known this in China for about 5,000 years. And it has gone through a number of periods. It went through a medical period where the emphasis and the use of Qigong was for healing. It went through a religious period where it was tied to Buddhism and Taoism. And then it went through a martial period about 1,000 years ago where the martial artists began to figure out, if I start to utilize some of this internal energy, I'm going to be stronger and I'm going to be able to recover faster if I'm hurt. Today, everything is sort of a mix, and we see people from all ages practicing Qigong. I understand that Tai Chi, as I said, a form of Qigong in a way, is the most widely form of exercise in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Albeit many of them, most of them are Asian, but 95% of the people who practice Tai Chi do so for health purposes, not for martial purposes.
Yes.
And this is where that energy comes in. This is where they call it the Chi.
Explain a little bit about energy, because, you know, we aren't broadcasting in Fairfield, right? So people are used to being a bit cosmic here, but some people aren't so much, and even those that are, let's say, a little bit more cosmic land, think of energy in somewhat mystical terms, but that's not really what you're talking about. You're talking very concretely, almost like you talk about the lymph nodes in your system or the your nervous system. They're how things move in a certain kind of way. So how would you describe it? I'm doing a terrible job.
This energy that we speak of is certainly nothing new, and certainly any culture that has any history knows about it, has different uses of it and explanations of it in different names. We call it qi in Qigong. The Japanese call it ki, and the Native Americans call it the wonkan or wonkan tanka. The Romans called it spiritus. The Hebrews called it
ruach,
I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Right. Yeah.
So it's gone by many names. And in the West, because it's difficult to pin down, it's difficult to measure other than the benefits that come from it, it hasn't gotten the research that that probably will come in the future. But in the 1960s or so, they began to label this thing as bioelectromagnetic energy in the body. It had an electric component, a magnetic component, and it is bio. It's in the body. It animates everything. It's what makes us alive. It keeps us strong, and it's also that which connects us to all of nature in that way. Qigong, the word kung, means to work or to accomplish. So we work at energy. We accomplish energy. Basically, we want to get it to circulate in the body more freely. The Chinese have known for centuries that poor health comes about when this thing which we call qi or energy is blocked or doesn't flow evenly, either in the specific organs or throughout the whole body. And so a lot of what Qigong, from the medical standpoint, is simply a matter of getting it to flow, to remove the blockages, and getting energy to flow freely through the system.
Okay, now again, this sounds rather esoteric, but the research, and there is a lot of research, and you're going to share with us a little bit of it, just a tiny fraction of it. But with this research, there is very clearly about benefits of this kind of work. And so, yeah, they're focused on the end result, which isn't always a bad way to go, but there is clearly a different dynamic. And I love how you said the distinction between Tai Chi, Qigong, and the other, so to speak, martial. You just said as martial, whereas, you know, martial arts or whatever, you know, is, and how they're doing it. So I remember when I was focused specifically on, you know, my training, there was a use of how do I take that power that's inside me and utilize it. And for instance, you could talk about any one of the martial arts, for example. People might be familiar with Aikido, and they practice some wonderful Aikido in this town. it's taking somebody's energy and essentially using it against themselves, like in judo, people might be familiar with. And so there's a number of different ways of taking that somewhat esoteric kind of notion of energy. But it's really no different than, well, you say, Mary.
Yeah, the energy, well, this energy can't be seen, but it can be felt. People can feel it within themselves as sensation, buzzing, tingling, those kinds of things. But people are not usually accustomed to paying that kind of attention to their own physical bodies.
But there is energy all the time.
Again, absolutely.
Even if we're, again, let's say not cosmic or esoteric about it, you walk into a room where people have had a fight. You could feel that, okay, let me use that word again, energy.
Right.
You feel, right, it, when you feel love with somebody, yes, you feel the hormones, the changes, the neurochemistry right. shift, but you feel differently. You walk out of the gym after having a good workout, it's not, you know, okay, my muscles feel like this, but my body, my, I
something
feel,
else is,
something
yes.
else has happened.
Yes, absolutely.
And when I'm using my power, and let's say I'm using that power just in the most traditional way, I'm at a gym and I'm lifting a weight, right? I'm using that energy. I could feel something. Oh, I feel like I got it. I got it. I could push it. Right. Oh, I lost it. I lost it. Okay, better put it, you know.
Right.
Right? We feel all the time. And we so much in this society either have to negate that sense of energy or we've got to elevate it to some cosmic level that's beyond this realm that few people can touch. The, and it's like, no,
right.
every single person at any single age. Right? You work with the elderly.
Right.
I mean, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'm going on.
So we, you know, we find so many we find so many people who are so much into their head, not even realizing they have a body.
Yeah.
Oftentimes what Mary and I will do is have our students simply close their eyes and go inside. What do you feel? What's happening in there? What are the sensations? What
so
are the
feel
vibrations?
Doesn't just mean I emotionally feel.
No.
It means actually feeling the actual energy that's moving in the system.
Got
if
it.
You're quiet enough and you're settled enough and you can go inside, you can actually feel this energy. I have a teacher who says it's not a bad idea to periodically go inside and just even say to yourself, I am in chi. And chi is in me. It is in me. It is around me. Becoming sensitive to that is a tremendous boon to your health and to your understanding of what's happening with your own body.
Right. And Qigong looks at all of nature as a dynamic system of energy. So we as human beings are also dynamic, changing systems of energy. Thoughts are energy, our mind is energy, emotions are energy, the physical body is energy, and it's always changing and shifting. So one of the treasures of Qigong, of becoming skilled at working with energy, is to, with practice, being able to feel when something is awry, when something is out of balance. And then learning the tools through Qigong of how to bring both the body, the mind, and the emotions back into balance.
Okay, very articulately said. What's interesting is, for me, as a clinician, is it is exactly the same with clients. What am I trying to always get with a client who's distressed? Stop. Get back. Feel that energy. Don't emotionally, people like to talk about, oh, well, what do you feel? It's like, no, what do you really feel about, you know, it's like I talk, you know, first thing, you know, somebody says they're depressed. Okay, what does it feel like to feel depressed? And they tell me what they're thinking about depression.
Right.
No, that's not feeling what it feels like to feel right. depressed. Okay, right. I'm feeling that I am losing control with my partner, right? I'm getting lost in my partner's thoughts, my partner's argument, my external, and I am stuck in this fight or flight mode. Well, I freeze like deer in the headlights, and then, okay, do I attack them or do I run away and withdraw and then abandon the other person? You know, regardless of the fact that they're attacking me. And it's like we live in the projection, and it's about that energy that is out there, which I have no control of. How do I center that control? How do I center myself again? And that's it. You know, again, we are talking different languages, but it's exactly the same thing, isn't it, Mary?
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. I was just remembering something that one of our students told us. We taught a course on Qigong and emotional balance, and one of our students told me that she was having a situation in her family in which one of her family members and her always, they knew how to touch each other's buttons, and they would get into these huge fights.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would feel horrible, and the family member would feel horrible. It was not a good, it was a bad cycle. And she, before class one day, the afternoon before class, she said that the same thing started to happen, and somehow, without even thinking about it, she practiced two small techniques that we had taught her. One was breathing, and another was a way of using sound, which is a vibration, to release anger. And just in a matter of a second, her whole perspective shifted. She was able to release the anger and listen to the other person, and everything shifted dramatically for her.
And you stop pushing, literally, figuratively, you know, but emotionally. Anyways, you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. Today's topic, we're talking about generally Qigong, but Mary and John are going to come back and talk to us about emotional health and working with the elderly and all kinds of fun topics. But today we're just talking about generally this notion of Qigong and energy, and John's going to read us some research in a second. But Mary, I love how you were saying practice these techniques, and I want to hear some more specific techniques that people can do, and how you could describe that enough that they could either come to you for some support, or they could maybe pick it up somewhere or something. So if they wanted to get more information about this, if they happen to be in Fairfield, where would they go?
Well, they can contact us. We teach in different venues in Fairfield, but they can email us at peacefulpostures@gmail.com.
What was that name again?
Peaceful Postures.
Okay. Look it up, how to spell postures. Yes.
Yes. P-O-S-T-U-R-E-S.
Okay.
At gmail.com. And we also have a website, peacefulpostures.com.
Pretty simple.
Yes.
Okay. If they're not in Fairfield, what do you suggest?
The same thing. They can contact us. And John is actually a member of the National Qigong Association. So he has a vast network of people that he can refer them to, or we could speak to them ourselves.
Really? So if one of my buddies from Chicago calls or emails in, you could direct them where to go?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, excellent. So, you know, I love this idea of, again, taking this energy, as we were talking about, and doing something with it. Because, again, we talk about in therapy is people get stuck in what they think is their feelings. They feel what they're thinking. You know, they're all trapped in this thing instead of, okay, let's get into action about what we're thinking and feeling and create some change where I feel some empowerment, some self-control, some self-regulation, some, you